Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Proverbs chapter number 11. This is Vision Sunday 2017, like we mentioned before. And as I was praying about the vision, writing some thoughts down, doing some different things, I had some different thoughts that I was putting together. And the Lord speaks to me a certain way. You know, some people, they get woken up in the middle of the night, and some people early in the morning, right? For me, I think God just knows the way he built me, because, you know, when I get into that level 3 REM sleep, it's like, you know, any time past a certain time in the morning, when I'm sleeping, man, you could set a bomb off outside, and I would just roll over and go back to sleep. You know, somebody could be trying to steal stuff out of our house, dog could be barking, kids screaming, that sort of thing, and I'll just be like, what happened last night? I don't even know, you know? Why are the cops here? And that's just how God built me. And so what the Lord does with me oftentimes, he'll just keep me up and won't give me sleep. And so one night I was going to bed, and as I was going to bed, I was just kind of sitting there. I was tired. My eyes were heavy. And so I'm just laying there trying to go to sleep. And I realized after a while, you know, after 20 years of serving the Lord, I just realized, you know, God's trying to do something here. And so I opened my eyes. I woke up and I said, okay, God, what's up? What do you want to talk about? And the Lord said, get your notes ready. And so I got my notes and I started to write down some notes, and God delivered to me right there on my bed the vision for 2017. And it's so simple. It's so easy. You know, God doesn't want to complicate things for us. God doesn't want to make things so hard that we can never do it. God wants us to have something that we can get a hold of and that we can do. And so the vision for 2017 is that we're going to grow. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Pastor, I get it. I see how you are. You know, you're just a pastor, and you just want people in the church, and it makes you feel good about yourself. And so I see you just want more people in church. So you're saying the vision is grow. Every church in America has that vision. They want to grow. But listen, guys, remember what I said. I didn't come up with this. This isn't Pastor Dan's thoughts. This isn't what I want. This is what the Lord wants, and this is what he delivered to me. And he delivered me this word. 2017 is a year to grow. And he delivered to me four specific areas that we're going to grow in individually as well as corporately together. And really, yes, on the inside of every pastor is church growth. Why? Because every seat that's filled represents a person. That's a life. That is somebody who is following Jesus. That's somebody whose life has changed. That's somebody who now is no longer under the authority of the devil, but now is headed for heaven. That's somebody who was lost, but now is found. That's a sheep that the shepherd is rejoicing over. That's a person that Jesus died for. And so, yes, every senior pastor has in their heart church growth. Why? Because they have in their heart people, because that's what's on the Lord's heart. But beyond that, God wants to grow us as individuals. God wants to grow our life. God wants to do awesome things in each and every one of us. And as a church body, God wants us to grow in these areas as well. So yes, it does mean more people in seats, but as well, it means more maturity in the heart. It means more influence in the community. It means much more, because God wants to grow our lives. Can somebody say amen today? And so God delivered to me four things, and each of these four things start with a letter. One of them starts with the letter G, then the next one R, then O, then W. Isn't that amazing how God just makes it so simple that we can remember these things? Because today, as you walk out of the doors, you're going to be able to recite the vision for 2017, because God is breaking it down so simple that each and every one of us is going to be able to receive it, hear it, that we're going to learn it, and that we'll be able to repeat it. Why? Because God doesn't want us to forget about these things. God has these things on his heart. They're important to him. And therefore, if they're important to him, when we make it important to us, then all of a sudden, God will be able to entrust us with his blessing, and we will grow in these areas. First one in 2017 we will grow in is letter G. We're going to grow in giving. Now, again, you might be going, well, Pastor, hold on a second. First you say we're going to grow. You're just selfish. You want people. And then you say grow in giving. Now you're after money. I mean, I didn't realize you were that kind of a church. But can I be honest with you guys? When I first heard the Holy Spirit deliver this to me, I had the same thoughts. Well, God, wait a second. Does that mean we're going to give like we've never given before? I mean, we just finished Freedom for Our Future, so are we supposed to bring back a capital stewardship campaign? Are we supposed to do the birthday miracle offering again? I mean, what are we talking about here, God? Giving? Is that tithing and offering? Is it what is that really all about? And as I thought about it, I went on to the other things and started to write some notes down. And I was thinking about it. I said, well, I got to make this palatable to the church. You know, I was kind of going down my own path at this point and thinking, well, God, okay, I get it. I'll deliver it. But you know, I maybe need to make it a little nicer. So maybe I'll say we need to grow in grace, you know, because there is a grace of giving. And you know, I'm sure we can find a Bible verse that says we're going to grow in grace. You know, you can grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, we can do that. And then together we'll say we'll grow in the grace of giving, kind of as a side note. I'll slip it in and I've done the will of the Lord, right? In fact, I even stood in front of our staff. They'll tell you that I stood in front of our staff at one of our prayer meetings and I said, we're going to grow in grace in 2017. And I included the grace of giving and we went on. But after that, the Lord corrected me. And I was praying and God said, that's not what I said. And I said, I know. You said grow in giving, but grace, you know, there's a grace of giving. And so God said, no, that's not what I said. I want you to tell them and go back and correct that with your staff, which I did. I repented. I humbled myself before my staff and said, you guys, I told you the wrong thing because I was operating the flesh and not in what God told me to do. And I told the Lord, I'm going to deliver it the right way then to the church. But God corrected my thoughts because giving is not just about money. I said, giving is not just about money, but it includes money. Hello. So we need to understand what giving is all about. And this is what the Lord dropped in my spirit. He says, you cannot grow without giving. Cannot. You cannot grow without giving. Now, in the natural, our minds would say, well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord, because, you know, in order to grow, if you're giving, you're reducing. If you're giving, you're decreasing. You no longer possess those things. In order to grow, you have to receive, right? If I receive a whole lot of food in my mouth, I will grow. If I receive a whole lot of money, my bank account grows. If I receive fame and fortune and wealth, then my influence grows, right? But that's the worldly way of thinking. See, in the kingdom of God, God often flips things upside down on us, doesn't he? He says the way up is down and the way down is up. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. So God flips the script on us. And God says, if you want to grow, you've got to give. Let me prove it to you from the word of God. The apostle Paul reminds the Ephesian elders of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? It is more blessed to give than to more blessed to give than to receive. God says it's more blessed. What is blessing? Blessing is the capacity to succeed. If we are going to succeed at growing in 2017, then we need the blessing of God on it, don't we? We need God's capacity to succeed. So if we're going to be blessed in growing, then it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We will have more capacity to succeed if we give than we do if we receive. What else did Jesus say? Well, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. But he didn't stop there, right? Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men pour into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Wow. Okay, so that means that when I give, then increase is coming my way. That means when I give, I will grow thereby. Why? Because with the same measure that I use, it's going to be measured back to me, but it's going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will it be poured back into my life. You cannot grow without giving. Can I ask you a question? What farmer do you know that sows one seed and expects one seed back? I don't know a single one. No, they sow one corn kernel and they expect a stalk that will grow up and have many ears of corn with multiple hundreds of corn kernels on each of those ears of corn. You sow one apple seed, you get one apple tree that produces many apples with many seeds on the inside of it throughout its life. So what makes us think that we're going to grow if we never give? You've got to sow if you want to grow. Let me show this to you in the Word. Proverbs chapter 11. Did you turn there? Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24 and verse number 25. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 starts out and says this. There is one who scatters. Now in the Old Testament times, in Bible times, they used to scatter seeds. They wouldn't plant like we plant today where they got a machine that puts one seed in a row, a straight row all the way down. They didn't plant seeds like that. What did they do? They just scattered. They just tossed their seed wherever. They would plow the ground and then they would just start scattering seed. And whatever produced, produced. Right? And whatever didn't produce, didn't produce. But they would go after what was producing. So it says, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Now remember, in the natural, we think if you're giving away, then you are decreasing your capacity. But no, in fact, what you are doing is you are increasing your potential to receive. Once again, by sowing, you will be growing. And it says, and there's one who withholds more than what is right, but it leads to poverty. See, if you do not sow, you will never grow. If you don't scatter, you're never going to have God's opportunity to bless your life. Look at the next verse. The generous soul will be made rich. We all like the end of that verse, don't we? Made rich. Ooh, I like that. Well, you got to be a generous soul to qualify for that. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will himself be watered. Now, I like how it says this in the Message paraphrase. Okay, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 in the Message says this. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Verse 25, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. See, if we're going to grow in 2017, we need to give. And yeah, we need to give like we've never given before. What do we give then? Sometimes we say, well, I'm ready to give. I can see it. I want that in my, but what do I give? Three things quickly: time, talent, and treasure. If we can sow, then we can grow in these areas. Sow your time, sow your talent, and sow your treasure. Let's take a look at each one of these quickly. Time gives place. When you give your time, you are giving place. See, if you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I'm giving you some time. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. What are you doing? You're giving the Holy Spirit place to pour into your life. But sometimes people say, well, God's not talking to me. But you haven't given him any time. You haven't given him any space. You have not given him room to work in your life. You've just been going about your business, watching TV, ignoring the Holy Spirit, doing your own thing, and yet you're saying, well, I want to hear from God. Well, give him some place. Give him some time. Give him some room to do something in your life. Same thing with church. Can I meddle in your business for a second? Because I'm going to anyways. Let me get in your face. Some of you guys come to church once a month, if that. And then you're wondering why you're broke down, busted, and disgusted. Why is God mad at me? I don't understand why I'm not blessed like everybody else. Well, listen, you gave him one service a month, if that, and you expect God to do something in your life. You need to give him some time. You need to give the Holy Spirit place to speak into your life. See, the church is the place where we come together, and this is the house of God. And what did Jacob say about the house of God? That it is the gateway of heaven, that God stood over the ladder, and the angels of God ascended and descended upon it, and there was God standing over that, and heaven opened up, and God started to speak destiny, and started to speak purpose, and God started to speak the will of God. And what happened? He said, wow, how awesome is this place? See, this is the pillar and the ground of truth, the Apostle Paul writes Timothy. This is the place where Jesus is standing. He is the ladder, and the angels of God ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. And this is the place where when we come together, there's a corporate anointing, and God starts to speak destiny, starts to speak purpose, starts to encourage you, starts to build into your life. And when you give God some time, when you come to church, and when you start to understand the reason why we gather together, this is not religion. This is relationship with God. And God, I'm not just going to do once a month. I'm not going to do every other week. I'm not just going to do once a week. God, every time the doors are open, I'm going to get into church because I'm giving God some time and some place to work in my life. Time gives place. Give God some room in your life to work. Your talent gives your power. See, you may not have thought of yourself as powerful, but God looks at you and says, you're a beast. You got this. You've got something that God has placed in your life. You have an ability. You have a power. Even if your power is rocking babies. See, when you put in your natural, God puts in the super, and now all of a sudden you've got a supernatural experience with God. See, you may have just thought you were wiping windows or cleaning up after nursery care, vacuuming up some crackers in the family rooms. You may have thought that you were just greeting somebody with a smile and a handshake. You may have thought that you were just out there bagging up some groceries for people. But when you put in your your ability, your talent, whether it's singing or playing a guitar, whether it's working with the youth or being a mentor or breaking free, whether it's being an SPT, whatever it is that you do, do it with all your might. Because when you put in your power, God puts in his power. That's the grace of God in your life. That's God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf. When you can't do it, all of a sudden you have a supernatural experience. Give your talents here in the house. Give your talents to others. Give away your life. Give like you've never given before. Time gives place. Talent gives power. What about your treasure? Let me meddle all up in your business again. Your treasure gives your potential. Every dollar is a meter of potential of what we can do. Think about that for a second. When people don't give, we can't do. There are dreams that this church has of buying property and building buildings. We need storage. We need a school bus for our children. We need that for the school because our current buses, we can't take kids around. We need striping on the playgrounds over there. We need carpeting in our children's ministry and youth ministry. And in fact, the whole place could use a facelift. There are things that we need to do as a church. There's outreaches that we want to do. We could do so much more if we had more potential given into this house. But what we do is a miracle. Why? Because we have never let finances stop us as a church, because this is a church of faith and we're believing God. And it doesn't matter what's given or not given. Listen, if it's the will of God, it's going to happen because God's going to make it happen. But let me ask you something. How much more potential could we have if everybody got involved? This church does what it does on anywhere from 7 to 9% of the people actually tithing. We have many more giving units, but they didn't give a tithe. You say, well, how do you know that? Because simple math says, I know you made more than $10,000 last year. That's simple math. I know you made more than $100. You gave $10 last year, and so that's not a tithe. That may be a tithe off the 100 that you had at the time, but you cannot survive on that. So we know people aren't tithing. 7 to 9% of the people that call this their home church are actual tithers. What if that increased to 15%? How much more could we do as a church? How much more could we send to the mission fields? How much more could we do to impact the Inland Empire? My goodness, what if that increased to 20%? Oh my gosh, our potential would just go through the roof. But that doesn't happen when you hold on to your treasure. That doesn't happen when you bury your talent in the ground. So you have to sow so that we can grow together. And remember, he who scatters increases the more. You say, if I give my tithe, I won't have it. No, you won't, but you will have the blessing of God. And you need the blessing of God more than you need $10, guys. Come on, somebody. You need the blessing of God more than you need that money. Because that money is temporal, but the blessing of God goes on into eternity. And when you sow, you start to grow. See, when you start to give what you have, now all of a sudden the blessing of God is on your life. And there's one who scatters, and yet he increases all the more. There's one who withholds more than what is right. Guys, the tithe is right. We see that all throughout the Bible. Jesus talked about it. He said, keep doing your tithe, but don't neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and love. But see, he says the tithe is still right. The Apostle Paul said, as you may prosper, set aside a little portion every week so that when I come, there may be no collections. See, tithing is all throughout the Bible. God wants us to sow. And really, tithing in the New Testament is not just a tithe. It's everything. Why? Because under the old covenant, it was 10%. Under the new covenant, which is a better covenant, it's a better offering. It's everything. God, this is yours. Tithing is where we start. Then it goes into an offering. And then it goes into extravagant or painful offerings. So you guys know what I'm talking about. But see, your treasure gives potential. Potential for us to do more as a church. Potential for you to grow and to prosper. Some of you guys say, well, I have a problem with giving. I really do have a problem with giving. I really recognize this about my heart. You want to know what to do if you have a problem with giving? Go back to love. Because if you can operate in love, then you can give. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Here's why. Because love gives. By definition, what is the definition of love? Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a verb. It's an action. Love is personal self-sacrifice, the giving of oneself for the betterment of someone else. See, when you give, you benefit someone else. You're operating in love. If you have a problem giving, if you're stingy and you know that about yourself, you are screwed, right? You just know that. Here's what to do. God, help me to love. God, help me to love people. God, help me to love you. Help me to love your house, God. I'll give you my time if I love you. I'll give my place, God, if I'll come to church because I love the church. God, I will give to others because I start to love others and I can give my power. God, when I see what's going on in the nations, when I see what this church can do, God, if I can operate in love, then I can give of my substance. See, when you start to operate in love, love is the greatest power in the universe. You will be able to give because love gives. Amy Carmichael is a very famous missionary, wrote a lot of wonderful books. She wrote this. She said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Now, the following three areas that we're going to discuss quickly, okay, as we take a look at the vision for 2017, ROW, the rest of the vision for this year, all of these happen when you give. In other words, the vision to grow starts with giving because giving will flow over into all of these areas, and you'll see why as we go throughout the rest of the message today. So what is the letter R in 2017? The letter R is this. We're going to grow in our relationships. Now remember, said giving flows into each and every one of these, right? So when you take a look at relationships, you have to give in a relationship in order for it to grow. Is that right? If I never gave my wife any attention, if I never gave her any gifts, if I never gave her any of my heart, if I just withheld everything, do you think my marriage would be a good marriage? My marriage would not be growing, guys. My marriage would be shrinking and dying on the vine. But see, when you start to give in relationships, now all of a sudden the relationship can grow. Turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. You guys still with me today? Acts chapter number 2. In the book of Acts, we find that the early church, when they just started off, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they started just doing things, right? And it's a model for us. Now, not a model in the sense, sometimes people think that we need to get rid of the buildings and start meeting in houses and all that kind of stuff. But listen, that is not what you see throughout the entirety of the counsel of the Word of God. But what we do see is an example of their heart and their attitude towards one another, towards the church, towards what's going on. I want to take a look at this with you so that we can define together what relationships, how we grow in relationships, all right? Take a look at the last couple of verses of Acts chapter 2. So if you find verse number, chapter 3, go back a couple verses, all right? I'm going to start in verse number 44. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 says this. It says, now all who believed were together. First key to relationships is you got to get together. Okay, I know this is rocket science. I know this is so difficult. This is so hard, but we got to be together. That's why we gather. That's why we provide opportunities. That's why we have different events and different things that go on, small groups and different things. But all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, we might give up at that point and say, well, wait a second. I don't have everything in common with everybody in this church. Man, they don't look like me. They don't act like me. They don't talk like me. They got an education and I don't. They have stuff and I don't have. I mean, they were born on the north side of the town. I was born on the south side of the town, you know, and they walk with a limp down there and they're a little bit different. They're a little bit crazy, you know, and so I just don't see that. But you know what happens when you believe? The moment you find somebody who's a true believer in Jesus Christ, you ever been that way? You've been at a restaurant or something, sitting by yourself, and you hear somebody pray for their meal, and you look over, you say, are you a believer? And they say, wait, you believe in Jesus? All of a sudden, you're like besties, right? You're just hanging out, taking selfies, posting them on the internet. Why? Because you have all things together. When Jesus is your everything, and Jesus is their everything, then you have everything in common. Are you listening today? So they were together. They had all things in common. Verse number 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now, obviously, they didn't sell everything they had because they still ate in their houses. They still were able to provide food. They were able to do all that. So it's not talking about selling everything. It says that they sold things that they had, their goods, right? Sold their possessions, and they divided them among all as people had need. We've seen that in this church where we've had, an orphanage that showed up in Africa, right? Some of you guys remember we had with Toto, Marilyn Skinner came through. And we started to sell things. Some people sold boats and guitars and houses. We put that money into that orphanage, and we bless them. There have been times where we've had capital stewardship campaigns. People sold properties. People sold houses. People sold cars. People sold different things in order to bring the money to help us pay off the church or to do a project here at the church. So we see that principle in operation still today. Notice what it is. It's giving and it provides in their relationships. I'll show you how. Okay? Keep reading. Take a look at what it says next verse. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord, there's unity. There they are together again with one accord. In the temple. Now notice they didn't all meet just in houses. They met at the temple. That was the house of God. That was the place that they gathered together. Meeting daily in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So here they are, and they're breaking bread together. Now, we've done this at this church, haven't we? We have parties. We're out there in the courtyard celebrating, breaking tortillas together, right? And some of y'all were breaking tacos, and here you go, and that sort of thing. And that's why we do that, because when you eat a meal together, all of a sudden, it's like family. You know, you could have perfect strangers out there. Someone's sitting alone at a table out there in the courtyard, and a family comes up, and they're like, can we sit here? Can we use these chairs? And, oh yeah, come on, sit down. And next thing you know, oh, well, I'm Joe, and nice to meet you, and then these are your kids, and that sort of thing. Next thing you know, man, everybody is happy. They're celebrating their family. I've seen guys at the men's breakfast. They're walking out arm in arm, right? Hanging out. I'm like, hey, do you guys know each other? Yeah, yeah. You guys been friends for a long time? No, we met today. We found out we were both in the Navy, and he was over here on this side of the world. I was over there on that side of the world, and yet we got the same story. Man, it's like we were brothers. I've seen the ladies. They're crying, right? After Women Rock AM, they're out there just weeping. We're trying to clean up the tables and stuff. We're like, ladies, can you? And they're like, right? And they're crying. They're praying. They're snotting. They're exchanging information. I'm going to be praying for your daddy, right? And they're just going on and on and on and on. Why? Because now there's relationship. There's something that's taking place. Look at what it says, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice that that's part of the same, it's part of the same sentence. Praising God and having favor with all the people. In other words, their relationships was a witness to the world around them. In the same way, if we grow in our relationships here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, it will be a witness to our community. Look at the next part of the verse, next sentence. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, if we're going to grow relationally, it's going to impact the number of people that come into this church. Why? Because when you come into a church, even though they don't know your name, but they love you, that's attractive. I want to be a part of that church. It's actually like gravity. It draws people to itself. When we operate in that power of love and we start to give in our relationships, we will start to grow in our influence in the community. So we need to grow in our relationships. What relationships? God, family, and others, in that order. We need to grow in our relationship with God this year. You need to press in to God. Need to grow in our relationships with our families this year. Need to start to take care of our families. Fathers, you need to be fathers. Husbands, you need to be husbands. Be the man of the house. Women, you need to come under submission to the mission of your husband and encourage him and help support him and lift him up in the direction of godliness that he's leading your family. Children, being obedient to your parents as unto the Lord. We need to grow in these relationships. You might be saying, Pastor, I don't like my family. And they don't like me. Well, listen, go back to love and start giving, because love never fails. And if you give in your relationships, you will start to see relationships grow. And then with others, we need to grow in our relationship with others. You may not know everybody's name here, but you can have a smile. You can give a prayer. You can give an encouragement. You can give a good word. You can give your time, your talent, your treasure here in the house of God for others. We need to grow. Need to grow in our relationships. This summer, we're going to have a relationship series. We're going to provide the Summer Connect nights. Go play some soccer, some football for some of you guys out there. We're going to play some volleyball and just have some fun together. We're going to provide opportunities, conferences, different ways to get together in relationship this coming year. Let's grow in our relationships. The letter O. Letter O is this, outreach. We're going to grow in our outreach in 2017. Three areas of outreach, okay? Your personal reach. You have influence. We've already talked about this. You have a part, you have a place to give something in order to reach people for Jesus. Corporately, we're going to grow in our outreaches. You know, we do the back to school bash. We're going to build on that. We've done the Good Works Expo in the past. We're going to build on that. We've done Christmas at the Rock and different outreaches. We're going to grow in these areas as a church of influence. This past year, 2016, we gave away an extra £1 million of food last year that we didn't give away the year before. We went from 7 million pounds to 8 million pounds. We are growing in this area. But also our world outreach. This is the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We're growing in our online influence. We're growing with our missionaries. We're supporting missionaries we believe are doing something on the planet. As well, we're sending short-term missions. Some of you guys may be called to go to the nations. Some of you guys may be called to do some short-term missions work. If you're a Bible college grad or alumni, they're taking a trip to the Philippines. They're doing a trip to Ecuador, Nicaragua. This year. Dr. Paolo and the team is getting ready to go set that up. They're doing some short-term stuff to Mexico, overnight stuff or just day stuff. You can be a missionary. You can be a sent one. You can be one person that goes and reaches out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 in the New Living Translation talks about the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the apostles. And it says in Ephesians 4, 12 in the New Living Translation, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In other words, it's not my sole responsibility to reach out. It's my responsibility to build each and every one of you to reach out. My responsibility to build you to see yourself as a full-time minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and go into your areas of influence and to build the church, okay? Ephesians 4:16 in the New Living Translation says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. God created you. God made you the way that he made you for a purpose. And God has a place for you in the body of Christ. There is a part for you to do. And it says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This year, see yourself as a full-time minister of the body of Christ here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. See yourself as a missionary sent to your church, sent to your home, sent to your community, sent to your job, sent to your marketplace, sent one. You are somebody who has a place and you have a part. And as you do your part, maybe you never thought sweeping up after the FTC's done, built the body of Christ. Maybe you never thought in putting kids' names into the computer as they're getting checked in, built the body of Christ. But whatever part you play, no matter how great or how insignificant it may seem, guess what? You are building the church of Almighty God. Last one for today is this. We're going to grow in worship. The letter W is worship. Turn to me to Psalm 96. I want you to see this in your Bible. Sometimes we say, well, okay, so we're going to grow in singing. We're going to grow in our worship. Okay, grow in our music. But listen, worship is not a song. Worship is not music. Now, you can worship the Lord with song. And you can worship the Lord as you play skillfully into him. But that's not worship solely. Psalm chapter number 96, we're going to read verse number 7 through verse number 9. Psalm chapter number 96, take a look at it. Take a look for giving in this verse, okay? I want you to read this with me. Psalm 96, verse number 7, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Four times in two verses you see, we are giving, we are giving, we are giving, we are bringing something to give to the Lord. Verse number 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. See, that is what true worship before God is. It is sacrificial obedience to the Lord. All throughout the Bible, you see the same principle. Very first time in the Bible you find worship is when Abraham was taking Isaac up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. He didn't want to do it, but he did. He went up on that mountain and he lifted his hands, and in his heart, Isaac was as good as dead. And he reasoned and said, well, I guess God's going to raise him up from the ashes. And in a figurative sense, he did receive him back from the dead because he had already done the deed in his heart. But the angel stopped him. And so worship, true worship. Remember, Abraham told his son, we're going up to the mountain and we're going to worship the Lord. Now, Abraham didn't have a tambourine. He didn't have a guitar. He didn't have a CD or MP3 player or anything like that. What did Abraham have? Abraham had wood, he had fire, and he had a sacrifice. He was bringing to the Lord. He was giving sacrificial obedience to God. That is worship. You say, well, what about the New Testament? Okay, smarty pants, let's go to the New Testament, shall we? First time you see worship in the New Testament is in Matthew, the second chapter, when three wise men show up and say, where is he who was born, King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. And what did they do when they found Jesus? They fell down before him and they opened their treasures and they gave him gifts to the king. See, worship is not a song. They didn't have musical instruments that they were playing. They didn't have a song they sang. They had a heart that was bowed down in reverential obedience. And they trembled before him and they gave an offering to him. See, true worship, Romans chapter 12, is a life that's laid down in sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and obedient to the Lord. And that is your reasonable act of worship. That is your reasonable service unto God. See, that is what true worship is, and we're going to grow in worship. We're going to grow in our sacrificial obedience. We're going to grow in our holiness. That, God, I am exclusively yours, and God, you are exclusively mine. Your holiness is worship unto God. We're going to grow in love. I love the Lord, and therefore I worship him. I love people, and therefore I'm going to serve them, and therefore we're going to grow in our worship this year. John Wesley said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Give me a people here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center who have a heart to grow. Give me a people who don't mind giving all they've got. Give me a people who want to give in relationships. Give me a people who love enough to reach out beyond the walls of this church. Give me a people whose life is laid down in sacrificial obedience, and that will cause the growth of the body of Christ. That will shake the gates of hell, and that will get the Inland Empire to where they're rocking with Jesus. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a great big praise if you're ready to grow in 2017. It's going to be the best year of your life, and we're going to grow together. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Every January in this church, we set aside some time. We give God place, and we pray and we fast. I would encourage you to join us. You don't have to not eat for the rest of the month or anything. Just take a breath, all right? Pick some time. Say, God, I'm carving out. I'm giving you place right here. Maybe you want to skip dinner. Maybe you don't want to eat after 7. Maybe you want to fast things like social media, or maybe you want to wake up early. But listen, don't just sacrifice that thing as a religious experience and think that you're going to get something from God. No, fast and pray. Fast and pray. Take that time when you sense that need to come up. I'm hungry. I'm tired, but I'm giving up. Whatever it is that you're giving up. I reached for my phone, but you know what? I'm fasting that right now. Take that time and pray. Would you pray for us? Would you pray for me? Pray that I speak boldly the word of God as I ought to. Would you pray that I'm a man of integrity? And that I love my family, and that I finish my course with joy. Would you pray for my marriage? Would you pray for my children? Would you pray for the pastors of this church? Would you pray for Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah as they enter into a new season of influence and follow the will of the Lord? Would you pray for Pastor Luke, Stacy, their kids? Would you pray for Dr. Becker and Dr. Fred? Would you pray for Mignon and the outreach teams? Would you pray for Pastor Joel and our SPTs? You lift up our finance department and our web department. Would you lift up all of the different staff here? Would you pray for one another? Would you pray for all the volunteers, all the people that are serving? Pray for the people that you see coming in and out of this church each and every day. Would you pray for the body? Would you pray for the Inland Empire? Pray for their salvation. Pray for the lost. Pray for the dying. Pray for the broken. Pray for healing and salvation. Would you pray for our nation? Would you pray for our leaders as it's a time of transition? Would you pray for the nations of the earth that God would move on the planet and that the gospel would go into the dark places? Would you pray for open doors? Would you pray for our missionaries? Would you pray for the churches all over the world? Would you pray for your brothers and sisters and the persecuted? Would you pray? Would you take some time aside this month and fast with us? Seek the Lord. Pray. As we do, that's worship to the Lord, sacrificial obedience, life laid down. As we do, I believe that God will give you a picture. Write it down. That's why we had that little thing for you to write it down. Put it in your Bible. Get notes. Take notes. Keep your phone ready, your tablet, whatever it is. Write down in a journal. Do whatever you need to do to remember what God speaks to you. God is going to show you a picture of your 2017. It's going to be your best year yet as we follow the will and the way of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.